Good morning. Friday is a good day to be alive in Jesus Christ. I'm George Watkins, and welcome to our Friday broadcast. It's the end of the week, the beginning of our weekend as we prepare for, well, stuff on Saturday. Oh, I don't know. You may have the list at home you have to do when you get off work or when you wake up on Saturday. Depends on your age, doesn't it? I remember as a kid, Saturday was somewhat dreaded. Mow the lawn, rake the leaves, whatever it was always something I didn't want to do. I wanted to go run around, hang out with the kids, the boys, ride my bike. As I got older, Saturday became a different occasion. And now, of course, Saturday was preparation for Sunday. I spent my Saturdays, especially Saturday evening, into the evening, going over my notes, making sure I was hearing correctly from the Lord for Sunday morning. Well, I don't do that now. I listen to the Holy Spirit so I can come and be on this broadcast every morning and talk to you about the good things of the Lord. And it's a good day to be alive. Welcome to our broadcast. And if you haven't been here before, and it's something that is blesses you, subscribe to YouTube and like us on Facebook and the internet. Business goes on. Thank you for that. Well, just wanted to wrap the week up after a busy week with the thoughts on the trade we made, or that Jesus made, that we came into by grace and faith and mercy. And that is the trade that was made when Jesus brought us into life everlasting. I remember a couple that were preachers, actually, pastors, young pastors, in one of the churches I was in as a boy, and they sang a song, and it was about trading. And the phrase I remember as I was making notes today to come and talk to you, it says, "And I think I got the best of the trade." That statement or phrase has stayed in my mind and my spirit my entire life because of the emphasis it had on Jesus and what he paid for our salvation. The movie that was done by Mel Gibson 20 some years ago now on the Passion of the Christ really emphasized the physical suffering. Now, you and I know that is pretty big deal, and we don't de-emphasize it by any means. He was totally man, totally God, so he had total pain, and he felt it just like you and I do and would. And he gave himself to a cruel sacrifice. It was invented by the Romans. They did it because they hated their enemies, and they wanted them to suffer as long as they could. So the movie, The Passion of the Christ, really, you know, spent a lot of time and pictures and sounds on the sacrifice, the death of Jesus on the cross. But really, if we look into the spirit of the thing, or the spiritual side of it, I should say, we would see the separation or the agony that he went through in the fact that he had taken on himself our griefs, our sorrows. I suppose the classic setting of that verse is in Isaiah 53. I happened to pick up the Amplified when I was coming to the studio. "Surely he has bore our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distress, and carried our sorrows and pain of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, as if with leprosy. That's kind of an underlying thought in some of the theology, is that God was taking out his wrath on his son. Now, let's take a closer look at the cross. Who's on the cross? Whoops, I thought that was Jesus. Oh no, that's God. Well, it was God on the cross through Jesus Christ, wasn't it? Now, I've often said, if you can understand the Trinity, tell me about it, because it is certainly so intertwined and so miraculously put together. And we in our Western thinking, our Greek thinking, as they say, we have to have 1, 2, 3. There's the Trinity. Here we have, and so we have the scriptural, we have this scripture for the Holy Ghost, this scripture for Jesus, and this scripture for the Father. That's our Greek thinking. But in the spiritual understanding of mixing, John 17, Lord, make them one even as you and I are one. How can that be? Well, first of all, we receive everything by faith. We believe what we hear and what Jesus has taught and what the Holy Spirit gives us. Logical thinking. Now, that's not being brain dead. We don't just jump off blindly. We meet the Lord. He encounters us. We open our spirit and we know we have an experience with God. I've been hearing about they're making this statement that the revival, or the move of God, I should say, not a revival, but the move of God that is happening in Iran is possibly the greatest thing happening on the earth outside of China in that Christian movement. But you know how it's so contrary to or backwards to us, is that they don't win converts. They don't make converts. They make disciples. Now, I've always had a problem with trying to teach a sinner spiritual principles. You got to confess Christ before you'll ever be able to understand. Well, wait a minute now. Are we teaching the mind or the heart? Are we bringing them to God, or are we bringing them to a set of church principles, biblical principles, laws? This is the way you have to serve God. If you got to give it up. When I was a young convert, a young kid in the church, you had to give up all these things before you could even receive Christ. Now, I'm sure that was a little severe, maybe not in all cases, but I was involved in some of that. You can't do that anymore. If you're going to serve God, you can't go to the show. You can't smoke cigarettes. You can't. Well, they had the list. Now, again, recommending that. I'm not approving of those things. Those are lifestyles that are damaging to a lot of things. But when you encounter God, there's something happens in your heart that becomes a transfer of submission, and you open up because you encountered the Father. So in Iran, they're making disciples. They invite them to a Bible study or a group, a men's group or a gathering of people. And in the process of showing love and talking about the good things that God does, those people are drawn in and they're discipled into the nature of God, the principles of God, in a way that is really wonderful. And then they make a convert when that person has encountered God personally. Well, I know in the last 30, 40 years, we've lowered the threshold of receiving Christ to the extent in some of our big churches, maybe the small ones, every head bowed. If you want to receive Christ, just look at me. If you want to receive, no, I've done it for years. Raise your hand. And so that was the principle I was taught through some of our great evangelists. Raise your hand, stand to your feet, then come forward, and we pray with you. And multiplied thousands came to Jesus like that. I'm not discounting that a bit, because I do it, I've done it, but I want to emphasize something here that has to do with an encounter with God before you make a commitment to God. So that it's not just an intellectual thing. I can't do that. I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to receive Jesus. Okay, that's pretty effective in some cases, but that's not the love of God. Because the Bible says it's the love of God that constrains us and draws us. It's the love of God that convinces us of his mercy. All right, well, I got a little sidetracked there, perhaps. But look at this verse here again. Surely he has borne. Now, he took all these, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. That set of verses establishes a framework of understanding for what this trade was all about. He traded his sacrifice for the redemption of not George Watkins. I've emphasized it. I was taught it in the early days, that if Jesus died for one person, he would have died for you. If you were the only sinner in the world, he would have died for you. But you know what that tells me? That tells me that Jesus just died for people that got saved. No, he died and he made the trade for the entire world. Every human that is on the globe, that has ever been on the globe, was redeemed from the curse that Adam put on humankind. Now, it says it this way. It says, by one man's offense, sin entered in. By another man's obedience, righteousness entered in. Now, if sin entered into the whole human race, and they were shut out of the relationship with the Father, then by the sacrifice of Christ, righteousness was ushered into the whole human race and provided innocence again. So what's the gospel message? The gospel message is this: you have been free. Come home. Come on. You have been freed by the cross and the resurrection. Now, I'm coming to the end of my Friday message, and I'm not exhausting any thoughts that I started. I'm just stirring your heart today to see the trade. We traded sorrow for joy, the best trade ever. The best trade we ever made was when we stumbled in, obviously led by God and drawn by the Holy Ghost, but it seemed like we just kind of fell into it, or somehow by coincidence we showed up in the right place. No, we were guided, drawn, and reeled in a way by the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says you can't come to the Father except by Jesus. We know that, and Jesus made the trade so that we could come home. Come on, everybody you know in your world has already had the price paid. The penalty's been paid. The fine has been paid. They are no longer guilty. And if they're sitting in jail, tell them to come home. They are free. Now, the scripture says we don't come to the Father, but by Jesus. And Jesus said, if any man believes in me, he has eternal life. So the door is still Jesus. As we open up our heart to him, we receive all the benefits of his sacrifice. Isn't that something? That's a message for Friday that will be eternally in on time and on target. It'll never fade out. Well, I love you guys and gals. Thank you for another week of interaction and good reports and submission, subscriptions, and all the things you've done to bless and encourage us in our journey and on our journey. Thank you for your prayers and your financial support. And if God's nudging you to send us a gift, right down there in the PayPal and in the mailbox, you know, the address, you can do that. Hallelujah. But thank you for that. And we will see you on Sunday night, 6 o'clock. We'll be on again. We're doing some preparation to have some interviews. So that's going to be an exciting thing come late summer, early fall. And meanwhile, be blessed. Don't forget, you're not alone. The angels of the Lord are always surrounding you. They are there to provide God's best in your life. See you then.